I am shocked.
We really feel so passionate that this information should be out there, Ilana. And I mean, your show is just the perfect platform.
This is a Baby Brunch podcast. This podcast is supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. The range of Epimax Baby and Junior Gentle All-Purpose Emollient Moisturizers is an all-day, everyday favorite for babies and children. Give your child a good start to every day by nourishing and protecting their skin with Epimax. I wanted a conversation on dummies, pacifiers, soothers. But instead of just talking about that, in walks two experts. So the one is Janae Alexander Gilchrist. She's from Curidon. And the other is Farah Sidat, a pediatric dentist from the Western Cape. She actually flew in especially for our interview for today. Thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
I wanted a conversation on a soother. Instead, they replied to me with things like choosing the incorrect one, what could happen potentially. So the conclusion, right? Depression, ADHD, sleep apnea, other things like jaw development, how bacteria can influence your children's health. So they came back with all these things, getting good sleep, sleeping well, breathing, all because I mentioned the word pacifier, or because I mentioned the word dummy. Janae, tell me about your personal story.
I was actually a thumb sucker. So that's my personal journey. 6 years. I've got the classic symptoms. I spoke to Dr. Sidat before the interview and I said, I'm asthmatic. I've got allergies. Mm-hmm. I've got fillings in all my molars. I still sound sinusy, even though I'm not ill. There's nothing I can do about that. And orthodontics fixed my teeth, as you can see, but the other things are still there. And so when I started this journey with looking at baby products, it just really dawned on me that if we could educate parents early on to make some educated, good decisions about pacifiers. They're not evil, but those decisions will impact not the first 6 months of your life or a year of your life, but actually your whole life. And so I've still got consequences to my thumb sucking, and I'm 53. So it really does impact your whole life. And we've got half our population has got sleep apnea. So these things can be avoided. And I'm really delighted to be sharing this podcast with people. Yeah.
So all of this is all because of thumb sucking.
Exactly. Our mouths are very soft and malleable. So something like a thumb sucking habit is actually enough to alter the shape of it.
That is so interesting. So, I mean, all of us grab for a dummy. I remember when the babies were born, my little one was Prem. As soon as, you know, she could breathe on her own, they gave her a dummy. And I remember at the time saying, is it okay? And they were like, no, it's fine. Is that okay?
So dummy sucking for premature babies can help them develop a tongue reflex. However, we know now which shape to use versus like in the old or actually still happening now, they would choose those big round fat dummies. Mm-hmm. We actually want them to rather use the flatter, thinner dummies.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll talk about that just now. So if you just tuned in, we're talking about dummies and soothers and the result of the incorrect soother or dummy and even what thumb sucking couldn't do. I mean, I didn't realize my sister was a thumb sucker. And at the time, I thought it was really cool and cute. I actually tried to mimic it as a child. It wasn't as useful for me, but she sucked them for a very, very long time. Do we discourage it in our children?
So it's very interesting. My cousin's daughter is in grade 3, mm-hmm. and she was still sucking her thumb. And the radical decisions that they had to, or the radical things that they had to do to get her to stop, was actually put a hook, a metal hook behind her teeth. So this is the long-term disadvantage of thumb sucking as a habit, because you cannot take a thumb away. So, you know, instead of that radical action that you need to take.
Intervention, yeah.
And emotionally, those children are very attached. It's a very soothing thing. Mm. And so, you know, the education really early on is super important. Yeah. If we can avoid it, and then soothers, the right soother is actually a better alternative than a thumb.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the correct jaw, palate, and tongue development in infants? Why is this important? I mean, why can't we just leave them to suck their thumbs or to grab any dummy? Why is jaw development and tongue development important?
So I'll talk from my personal experience. So you can hear that I sound super nasal. And that's because my arch of my palate is very high. And you can imagine putting your thumb into your palate.
Right.
It takes that shape. Babies' palates are super malleable. They're still forming. They're not hardened. And so the rounder your soother or the rounder your thumb, the more arched your palate. And that means that the teeth are then coming out crowded because if you're arching upwards, you're narrowing the jaw. It then encroaches into your nasal cavity, which means you're always sounding sinusy. But more importantly, your tongue isn't able to nestle where it should be. So at rest, when we're breathing through our noses, your tongue should be stuck up against your palate. And that makes your tongue lazy because it's a muscle. It needs to develop. And if you've got something massive in your mouth, your tongue isn't able to develop. So then you're encouraging mouth breathing, which also impacts allergies because it's not being filtered through your nose. Sleep apnea because you're not breathing well. And actually breathing through your nose can deliver up to 20% more oxygen to your brain and to your organs. So it's huge. It's not just, is a soother good or bad? Mm-hmm. It's choosing the correct soother if you decide to give a soother. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What are the telltale signs? Now I've given my child a soother or they're sucking their thumb. And I mean, look, I'm still not convinced that it's wrong. I'm having this conversation and learning, just like everyone else who's listening to this podcast. Mm. I mean, what are some of the telltale signs that the development is not correct? How do we know?
Look, it's difficult to say, especially when they're young, because we still go through quite a few growth spurts in the first few years of life. However, there are a few things I can tell you. From a dentist's point of view, we look at things like a tongue tie, whether the baby has a tongue tie or not. Also, where their teeth are the teeth quite pushed forward and almost like jutting out? Mm-hmm. And even their chin, like does their chin look quite small and pushed back? Are their mouth breathing, for example? Is their mouth always open due to, for example, allergies mm-hmm. or enlarged adenoids and so forth? But as a mom, there are also signs you could look out for. For example, when your baby is sleeping, is their mouth open? Do they constantly have sinus infections or tonsillitis, for example? Are they sleeping poorly? Are they wetting the bed, for example? Are they snoring at night? So all these little things actually indicate that there is a problem with regards to how their face and airway is growing.
It's interesting because, I mean, we deal with a lot of topics on Baby Brunch and it's always quite exciting to find solutions, right? Mm-hmm. So far, I mean, I can tell you that my daughters have got all of that. All four of my babies sleep with their mouths opened. Two of them have had their tonsils removed. All of us have allergies in September. You know, it's almost, is most of it a result of the wrong soother or jaw development, or can it be?
It definitely can be.
Right.
So like I was saying, when you're young, your jaw is still soft and malleable. And if there's something that's altering it, making it narrower than what it's supposed to be, your airway becomes narrower. And once you stop growing, you stop growing. So if you're left with a narrow airway, it's going to affect all these things later on in life. And for example, if you have allergies during allergy season, you would have an exacerbated response because of how much narrower your airway is. Or for example, if your airway is narrower than normal, you would tend to snore or grind your teeth more because that airway isn't as big as what it's meant to be. And your body's basically trying to get oxygen. Mm. So it does whatever it has to do.
I immediately think of the grinding of the teeth. I mean, if one finds that you, through the incorrect soother or thumb sucking, have contributed to the lack of development of your baby, or there's a possibility, can one fix it?
Yes. So I wouldn't panic if that is the case, because there are still things that we can do. And like I said, because babies go through, or children go through, so many growth spurts, there is still a chance. The key thing here is timing, because the earlier you intercept this habit or whatever is causing the growth to be altered, the better the outcome is, because our bodies are actually amazing little things. They can actually correct itself. Like your mouth can actually correct itself if the dummy is removed timeously. But that's the thing, timing is key here. So usually up until the age of two, if the dummy is removed, your body or your mouth is almost guaranteed to basically resolve itself. Obviously, this is now in general.
Mm-hmm.
But the longer you wait, like if you wait till 3, the chances do decrease. But usually by age 4, if they're still sucking a dummy, then those growth alterations usually last a lifetime and will require then external intervention to help it, like, for example, braces or a similar device. Mm-hmm.
So let's think quickly, the dummy or even the thumb, right? It's mimicking to be a nipple. It's mimicking to be... So what about our moms that are breastfeeding? Is that an issue?
So that's a lovely question, because actually when you look at the range of soothers out there, they don't look like a nipple.
Okay.
And when we look at nature, the breast actually supports tongue, jaw and palate development perfectly. So it's not... If you're breastfeeding, that you're never going to have any of these issues, but they are vastly reduced. So actually breastfeeding really supports the natural development, because your tongue is able to nestle under the nipple. It also means that if you're breastfeeding, the tongue goes from a what we call an infantile swallowing pattern to a mature swallowing pattern, where the tongue then actually changes the action and throws the food into the back of the throat. If that doesn't happen in infants, they gag, they're fussy eaters. Because the tongue's not, it's a muscle. It hasn't developed. So breastfeeding is actually first prize. But again, there are some mothers out there that are not able to breastfeed. Mm. And we want them to know that there is very good alternatives out there. Mm. You know, we don't want anybody to feel like they're not doing the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's obviously an ideal world. But really what we're here to say is, when you're making the decisions on these alternatives, make sure that you're making the correct decision for your child.
So, I mean, I want to know what the correct decision is. Soon I want to get to hygiene of all these scenarios, you know. But now the advert on one of the bottles says, like mother's nipple, you know, and it looks nothing like my nipple, okay? So how, what is there a guideline of, like, this is what you... Even the bottle, you know, the bottle nipple or the soother nipple or the dummy, like we call it, or pacifier. Is there a guideline somewhere where you can go, oh, wow. I remember actually with my firstborn, so not with my older kids. 8 years ago, we didn't have any of these, you know, alternative options in the country. And I remember I almost ordered a bottle from America. Wow. And then my thoughts stopped me. I immediately thought, how do they know? You know, like mother's nipple. You haven't seen my breasts, you know. And what do we base this research on?
Mm.
So, I mean, what do we look at when we, for instance, can't breastfeed and need to bottle feed?
Mm. So I think bottle feeding is not such a huge issue, because if you think about how long babies are feeding for at a time, it's only 10 to 15 minutes.
Right. It's the timing that's the issue.
It's the timing. And so bottles, unless you are giving them a bottle and they're falling asleep with it in their mouth overnight, not a good idea.
Mm.
And a soother is also not an evil. It's just how long they're keeping it in the mouth for. So with soothers, my biggest advice would be never upgrade the size of your soother. Because the bigger your soother gets, the more arched your palate becomes.
But it says 0 to 6 months on the packet.
Of course it does. And it's a marketing gimmick. So when you start your baby on a soother, do not upgrade the size. Make sure whatever soother you're giving, when you put the soother in the mouth, make sure baby's lips can seal. Your lip, again, is a muscle. If we're not training those lips to stay sealed, they will become mouth breathers. Just simply because their lips are underdeveloped as a muscle. So those are my two biggest takeaways, is not the very round lollipop ones, because then the mouth will be open. Anything that a mouth can seal when the soother's in the mouth. And ideally, I mean, can't watch our children sleep, but ideally if they're falling asleep with it, we do.
All the time.
You want to remove definitely the bottle. Falling asleep with a bottle is not a good idea. So bottles, because they're short sort of spurts, not a problem. It's the long-term effect of that.
Pediatric dentist Farah, what I'm hearing here is hurting my ears. Okay, so now I have given my child a 6 to 18 months soother or a dummy. And I thought I was very cool because it has a cartoon on it and she even chose it herself. Why is mouth breathing so bad?
Look, I was that mom too, because I already bought the older age dummies when my kids were literally newborn. I'm like, I'm paired. I have dummy for each age.
I know.
So I understand. But knowing what I know now, I wish I could go back. So, but I mean, I can't. So all I can do is help other moms not do what I did. So one of the main reasons why we want to spread this message is because mouth breathing is really, really bad. It should almost be illegal. Our mouths were not meant to breathe for us standard. Our noses are meant to be breathed through. And when we do mouth breathe, we actually compromising our body of receiving the most essential nutrient, oxygen. I mean, we can go without water and food, but if you can't breathe, I mean, you know what will happen to you. So all we want to ensure children are holistically well, like every part of their body is healthy. All they need to do is just breathe through their nose.
Let's talk hygiene. So now the dummy falls on the floor and we pick it up and you stick it in your mouth and you go and you give it to your little one because you the last one that sucked it and therefore it's clean.
Can I be honest?
Yes.
I would rather put a dummy that fell on the floor in my kid's mouth than let someone who has cavities in their mouth kiss my child. And the reason is there's something called vertical transmission. And basically what happens is if a mom or any caregiver, even a dad, has untreated tooth decay,
yes,
or gum disease, and they kiss their baby, those bacteria responsible for those diseases get passed on to the baby. So when baby gets their first teeth, it's basically colonized by decay-causing bacteria and gum-causing bacteria. So basically what mom should do is always make sure that their oral hygiene and oral health is optimal before giving birth, because you can pass on disease-causing bacteria onto your baby.
So this is actually interesting, because we've had it before, you know, preparing for baby, and when you fall pregnant, you have to go and see your dentist, you know, so that they can check your oral care and hygiene. It's a beautiful visit, because by then you're carrying and, you know, you're just making sure that everything's in place. What do you do with a dummy that falls on the floor?
That answer, I think everybody would have different answers, but I'm pro my children building immunity. So depending where it is, I would stick it back in their mouth or rinse it under running water.
I had this rule. Unless it's, if something falls in water, don't do it. And if it's dry and it falls on the floor, you can still eat it or put it in your mouth. So that's the rule I went with. It was just easier, you know. My kids still know if something falls in water, we just don't pick it up and put it in our mouths. You know, that's just the rule. Okay, so I like that you're leaving it up to us. But now we're all going to go to the dentist today.
I hope so.
Yeah, this is very interesting. So I want to stay with hygiene. I mean, I know this is not a conversation, and we actually on Baby Brunch, we're going to have a conversation about our breasts, and I'm quite excited about it. Milk, what does milk storing mean? And, you know, everything to do with our breasts. Do the hygiene of our breasts and our nipple, does that affect the health of our children's teeth?
So not so much the hygiene of your breast or nipple, but more so actually the breast milk itself.
Okay.
So I very, very often get young children coming in for a checkup because mom's seen a few spots on their front teeth, but all they're doing is just breastfeeding. So I often get asked, but is there a link between breastfeeding and cavities? And honestly, there actually is one. I mean, no one's disputing the fact that breast milk is the best for baby, not just for the milk itself, but for how it supports the natural jaw development. Yeah. However, there is a link between breastfeeding and tooth decay. And simply put, after the age of one, if your child is breastfeeding at night on demand, then breastfeeding does become one of the risk factors for developing tooth decay, one of several risk factors. Couple that with inadequate oral hygiene, and you're probably going to get tooth decay on the front teeth. And the reason for that is that because breast milk contains lactose.
Okay.
And lactose basically breaks down essentially into a carbohydrate or a sugar, which is the fuel bacteria use to produce acid that dissolves or damages our teeth. So usually when they have that last suck, there is some unswallowed milk on those front teeth. That's the problem. It's the unswallowed milk. Mm. So basically you're leaving some sugars there for bacteria to have a party with, produce acid and damage those front teeth. So it doesn't cause tooth decay, but there is a link between breastfeeding at a certain time and developing tooth decay.
Oh, what a party. And so just in terms of cleaning, when do I clean my baby's mouth, right? At what age? So, I mean, at what age do we start?
So, ideally, as early as possible. There are a few reasons for that, but using an actual toothbrush with something on it definitely once the first teeth erupt.
Okay. But before that, we clean.
So basically before that, the idea is to clean, but also to help them get used to the feeling of something being in their mouth.
Right.
So for example, I actually love the Curaprox baby toothbrush because it's silicone or it's like a nice soft material. It has certain bumps on it. The bristles are quite soft and it can't hurt baby. So giving them that brush to use in their own mouth to explore their own mouth helps develop a positive experience with toothbrushing. So when you go in there and brush when they have teeth, it's familiar and they are more accepting of it, which actually helps develop a lifelong good relationship with good oral hygiene.
So from which age, baby's born, they're drinking milk. From which age do we start cleaning baby's mouth? With a soft cloth or with our finger in a cloth? From when?
I would say from day one, to be honest. And then just more vigorously once they do have teeth.
Okay. Then we can use a brush or a tool or something with a rubbery bristle in order to clean. What happens if baby is on breast and they have their last feed? I mean, I don't want our listeners to become, you know, panicky.
Yeah.
You know, so now they've had their last feed. It's time for bedtime. Do you clean after the last feed?
Yes. So parents always ask me like, but I'm still breastfeeding, so what should I do? Mm. It's actually quite simple. I mean, no one's saying don't breastfeed on demand at night after the age of one. However, if you are choosing to do so, there are certain things that you should do. Number one is definitely wipe their mouth after the last feed.
Okay.
By removing the milk, you're basically removing the food for the bacteria.
Okay.
So even if there is plaque or bacteria there's no food for them to use to damage the teeth. So all you have to do is wipe the teeth using a bib or even a face cloth or each piece of cotton, for example. And make sure that you're brushing their teeth once they're awake in the morning and in the evening before bedtime using a good toothpaste and a toothbrush. And then also, of course, bringing them to see the dentist at least every 6 months or so.
Okay.
And limiting other sugars from the diet, like, for example, through candy or juices or other similar foods.
Mm. Chocolate.
Like chocolate.
Cereal.
I mean, look, children.
I'm thinking of all the things in my cupboards. Muffins.
No. If I tell you what's in my cupboards, you actually might freak out. Look, everyone has sugar. It's all about balance and learning how to care for your teeth, even when you have sugar in your diet.
In your diet.
Yeah.
I want to come back to teeth brushing now because I also want to know how much and so on. What if, because I'm thinking of the development and jaw development issues that do exist. Yes. You know, let's not. What if I have already got a child who's dependent on their pacifier and it's the wrong one? I know that feeling when there's the one soother that helps and it's missing and the whole family from Cape Town to Cairo is looking for this thing because it's missing, it's lost, and my nana is gone and the child can't sleep. What if they're already dependent on a certain soother and now we want to change things because the experts say jaw development and ADHD and sleep apnea and mouth breathing, Gnade, you know?
Yeah, the list goes on. So we often get that question, and I think that's a really great question because, again, we don't want to have moms feel guilty, right? We only do the best that we can with the resources we have. So there is help. If the child is on a soother, and a lot of these children are very emotionally attached to the soother, I know from personal experience. So we don't advise for you to take the soother away.
Mm.
I think emotionally that's very taxing on the child and the parent. It's a very traumatic thing to do. Introduce another soother that has better properties. And, you know, often moms will say, I don't want to buy another soother. What if they don't take it? Just try. That's all we're saying, is just try a soother that will support their natural development. Because, you know, we always have orthodontics to fall back on. But as I say, that'll straighten your teeth, but it may not address some of the other issues.
Right.
You know, speech and language is another thing that's affected by teeth that are not in the right place. So it is really far reaching, and I think it's worth just trying another soother. We often will, you know, say to parents, I know, you know, you leave that soother at granny and then everybody's panicking. So I know it's traumatic, but then try the other soother. If they're older, they can choose it as well. You know, choose a color.
What do the properties of a acceptable soother look like? I mean, if I go on the shelf, there's so many products and options, you know. I want the one that looks the coolest from the outside. I mean, there's Instagram is fantastic. So is TikTok. Follow us right now, Baby Brunch. But what is the correct soother look like?
So the correct soother, these are the properties. When baby puts the soother in their mouth, their lips should be sealed so that they are nose breathing. All babies are born nose breathing. Second thing is the bubble does not need to be huge. If you just touch your baby's palate, they will start sucking. Third thing is do not upgrade the size. Even though the marketing on the product tells you to, please do not upgrade the size. You don't want to cause a bigger issue already that, you know, in your babies. And then the other thing is if there's a soft material where when they're sucking the teat, the back of the dummy, if that makes sense, moves. So it mimics the breast. So it's not a solid back, it's a movable back, more flexible. Those, I think, are the four main properties that I would look for. And obviously it's difficult in the packaging, but they should have some pictures at the back. There are a few that will tell you that they're orthodontic friendly. And then I don't know, Dr. Farah, if you want to add to that.
Yeah, I realized from experience with my own children that actually isn't the case, even though it says orthodontic friendly. But I would say, simply put, from a dentist's point of view, knowing what I know now, avoid the very big round dummies and rather opt for the flatter, thinner dummies. That's all you need to know, essentially.
I am shocked.
We really feel so passionate that this information should be out there, Ilana. And I mean, your show is just the perfect platform. This is far reaching and we don't know the damage that we're doing.
All we wanted to do was talk about a dummy. Well, we're now at visiting the dentist. In walks Dr. Farah, our pediatric dentist. Okay, so now we know now that we can start cleaning since baby is already born. Oh, man, little baby is already cleaning their mouths. Okay, what do we clean with?
At that age, literally a piece of gauze or a face cloth with either nothing on it or something I like to recommend is called X-Gel, which is basically xylitol gel, which just supports oral health. So with no teeth, you're good to go with some gauze and X-Gel.
What if the tongue has that white layer on it? Is that good or bad?
It usually isn't a bad thing. People often think it's like a fungal infection. It isn't always, to be honest. It's usually just some milk residue on the tongue. It isn't bad if it stays there, but better if you wipe it out. Again, I would just use gauze and X-Gel.
How often do you change the gauze? Do you use a new piece every time?
I do. I do use a new piece each time.
Once baby has their first teeth, and we all make pancakes at home because baby's got a tooth, baby's got a tooth. I even make pancakes when they fall out. My children said to me the other day, you must stop making pancakes when they fall out. I was like, but I'm excited. We need to welcome the new one. You know, so how much fluoride? Do we use fluoride?
Yes.
How much fluoride do we use?
That is a very important question because I feel like there's quite a bit of misinformation about fluoride out there. So fluoride is actually a vital element in helping combat tooth decay if it's used appropriately. In the past, people would advocate for the ones that you swallow, like as we know it, the tablets or the drops. However, recently, that is not what we recommend. We recommend a topical preparation of fluoride. Easiest to find is simply toothpaste. So it does have a place in preventing tooth decay, and to use it safely, all you have to do is use an age appropriate one, number one, and number two, the appropriate amount. So when they just have a few little teeth, You just need to use a smear. And once they have a full set of baby teeth, which is usually 20 teeth, then you move on to a pea-sized. And if you use a pea-sized or a smear of an age-appropriate one, it is safe to use.
My girls have got this thing that every time they visit the dentist, they need a new toothbrush. Every time I go grocery shopping, they need a new toothbrush. Every time we go for monthly facial products and tampon shopping, they need a new toothbrush. How often do we need to change a toothbrush?
Well, they sound like ahead of their time. But honestly, I would say every 3 to 4 months. Okay. But with the younger children, they tend to chew their toothbrushes and it gets quite frayed. So I always tell parents, then buy 2 toothbrushes. One for them to hold, which they can chew on. Another one you keep somewhere else that stays intact, which you use yourself. So if it stays in shape, every 3 to 4 months is a good time to change the toothbrushes.
I go through this phase in my house where I start cleaning a lot of things, including the toothbrushes, okay? In fact, this morning I was in that toothbrush holder, you know, the one that after 2 days gets a nice soapy residue?
Yes.
Okay, so this morning I was in there. I often take like a normal sanitizing hand wash and I wash it in my hands and I rinse the toothbrushes with it. Is that okay or not?
You mean the head or the handle?
The head, everything, all of it. I will wash your toothbrush, okay?
Well, it's actually not a bad thing. I mean, I suppose. I think the main thing is to make sure that these toothbrushes get a chance to dry. Because when they stay damp, that's when bacteria harbor. So using little cases that cover the toothbrush head are just a bad idea. So usually I leave mine somewhere where it can air dry. And as long as it dries, then you're actually fine.
What if your spouse uses your toothbrush and they leave like little pieces of meat in it?
If you have to ask me if my spouse did that, he wouldn't be my spouse anymore.
I might be the spouse. No, I'm kidding. What was the thing around fluoride? I mean, there was a time that they said it could cause tummy ache. It's bad for their stomach lining.
Yeah. So when it's ingested in excessive amounts, it can have adverse effects. Yeah. That's why we no longer advocate for the tablets or the drops. You want to actually just use it topically in the form of toothpaste. And because children can't swallow or can't spit out easily from the ages of 0 to 6 or so, hence you use a very little bit. Because even if you use that little bit, whatever they swallow is still within a very, very safe range. Mm. But as soon as they can spit out safely, then you can use a bit more toothpaste. But while they still can't spit out, to prevent these adverse effects, you want to make sure you're using the proper amount. Again, of the age-appropriate one. There are definitely documented negative side effects of fluoride, but those doses are usually much, much higher over a long period of time, usually where water fluoridation was concerned, which isn't too bad, luckily, for us here in South Africa.
What if you don't have access to fluoride or even to your dentist? I mean, how can our moms at home in communities where they don't have access to the money for fluoride, what can we clean our mouths with?
To be honest, as long as you're getting the plaque off, I would say is a key factor. And number two, the diet. That would be the most important thing. The reason why I often recommend fluoride is because the acid I spoke about earlier on basically damages our teeth. And on a daily basis, the fluoride that we use in our toothpaste repairs that damage. Okay. So even though there is some tooth damage, it is being repaired. And that's because whatever we eat, I mean, most of our diet comprises of carbohydrates. Mm. So if you are in an area without fluoride, then I would say try to limit your diet where you're not introducing all these sugars into the mouth in the first place, which will then also help combat tooth decay. But the main thing I would say is just get the plaque out of the mouth and rinse after you eat something that is a little bit like sugary or full of carbohydrates or starch, for example.
I never thought that when we talk about pacifiers or soothers that we would get to a point where we think of depression or ADHD, you know, jaw development, sleep apnea. How do they and what do they base this research on? I mean, how did they get to the result that because of a soother, it could be the result of all these things in later years?
So mouth breathing versus nose breathing is the answer to that. If we are nose breathing, our air is filtered. It's also temperature regulated for our lungs. Mostly we've got a product in our nose that's only produced in the nasal cavity called nitric oxide. And that actually makes sure that our airways are open. So it's called a bronchodilator, which means it opens the airways. Sleep is really important for mental health. And so if we are not able to breathe well during our sleeping time, our body never reaches this deep sleep because we're constantly having these mini wake-ups to regulate our breathing because we're not breathing well. So your body wakes you up, and we've all probably slept next to somebody that's, you know, and they're gasping for breath, and actually they're never reaching this deep sleep. And it's in this deep sleep time that we actually can emotionally regulate. It's a cleanser for us. And so not reaching that deep sleep can result in depression. We've all got a lot to deal with. We need our sleep to restore. In children with ADHD, it's a concentration issue. If your brain's not functioning well and you've got 20% less oxygen because you're mouth breathing, you're going to be all over the place. Your emotions aren't going to be regulated because you're not sleeping well. So to me, if we can breathe well, sleep well, and eat well, I think our hospitals would be a third full and not 100% full. Like, those three things for me are major.
Doctor, if there's one thing that you want our mommies and daddies to take home with them from this insightful conversation. I mean, I really enjoyed the hygiene aspect of today's chat. I also enjoyed learning something new. You know, there's a lot of parents that rely on us for information. So it's always wonderful to mean something to someone. But if there's one thing that you want our parents to take home with them, what would it be?
Don't underestimate how important it is to look after the mouth and the whole developing head and neck region when our children are young. Baby teeth, yes, they do fall out, but that is just one aspect of a developing system, which is our mouth. And our mouth is one of the most, if not the most important, functional aspect of our bodies. So for me, it's so important to make sure that our mouths are healthy because it affects the entire quality of our lives and our overall well-being. And it all starts with just looking after teeth, choosing the right dummy, knowing what to give the child to eat or not to eat, and looking at how they sleep, for example. So don't underestimate how important our mouths are in our overall health.
Janae, the same for you. I mean, it's wonderful that you're a passionate mom that is helping people because of something that happened to you, right, as a thumb sucker. I'm also very proud that you've pursued a career where you are helping so many other people through Curate and with brushing and information and, I don't know, workshops and all kinds of other things. What's the one thing that you want us to take home with us?
If I had to choose one thing, please trust in nature. If we really understood how perfectly we were created, and our bodies are naturally healing. We just interfere so much. You know, breastfeeding supports the natural development of our tongue, jaw, and palate. And yes, when we can't do that, there's some good alternatives. Make sure you're choosing the right alternatives. If you can, remember to go as natural as possible. Don't overthink it, don't overcomplicate it. Trust yourself. If you think there's a problem with your baby, there's probably is. I think just that, really. Trust your body. It's going to give you the answers. It's going to give you the answers.
For more information about you and your baby and your family, you can head to babybrunch.co.za. Another insightful conversation. We'd like to thank Janae Alexander Gilchrist from Curidon, as well as Dr. Farah Sidat, our pediatric dentist from the Western Cape. In fact, you can find them in Kromboom Dental Center. And where can we find Curidon? What's that website?
So that would be www.curaprox.co.za.
Wonderful stuff. You can find us on babybrunch.co.za.
This podcast was supported by Epimax Baby and Junior. Epimax Baby and Junior is dermatologist approved, free of artificial colorants and fragrances, and is safe to use from birth. Touch, nourish, love your child's skin with Epimax Baby and Junior. Available from leading pharmacies and retail stores.